Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome to the Viewpoints podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague, Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, thank you for joining us, spending some time with our listeners, our clients. Always great to be on the mic with you. And I know we have a lot to catch our listeners up on. Now, while the Strait of Hormuz remains blocked with oil prices elevated, your bullish market scenario, Burkhard, has proven valuable for investors. Now, coming up next is the U.S.-China summit between U.S. President Trump and Chinese President Xi. And while the Hormuz blockade may overshadow the agenda, I would like to hear your views, Burkhard, on the U.S.-China relationship, on the Strait of Hormuz, and on global markets, of course.
Great, and thanks for having me, as always. So let me start with three strong convictions that I have and would start with on your question. The first conviction is, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, the Strait of Hormuz will be opened again soon. And, you know, the hostilities may continue even for the next 10 years. I don't know. But the spice will flow. And that's what matters. The spice will flow. Because objectively, that's the only common interest which all parties involved share, be it the U.S., Iran, China, and almost the entire rest of the world. And the rest is really negotiating tactics and details, like do we take a left turn or do we take a right turn, but we'll get there. Here's my second conviction. I'll say markets will grind higher for longer. Because, you know, and this is kind of counterintuitive, our big secular bull market scenario, which I've been calling the Roaring 20s scenario for so long, these tensions in Iran only add fuel to its fire. That's because they kind of fast charge everything about the New World Order. Think, for example, about the rise of renewables and the other pillars of the energy transition, like batteries and electrification of industry and mobility. Or think about the U.S.-China rivalry in AI, or think about the global boom in infrastructure and defense spending, all of which become even more pressing with and after this shock. And here's a third conviction I'll put up, which is that China is hosting the upcoming summit from a position of unparalleled strength. While it's still traumatized by its recent real estate crisis, I know that, it has a surplus in literally everything it makes and sells. China has a savings glut and excess capacity in almost everything that they make, and both these things are deflationary. And, you know, ironically, right now, that's actually a plus in a world of rising oil and food prices. And meanwhile, China has really become a global technology and manufacturing and logistics leader. It runs the most sophisticated logistics and manufacturing hubs in the world. It's integrating AI and hardware seamlessly, become a global leader in clean technology, in EVs, in high-speed trains, in smart power grids, in telecom networks, shipbuilding, industrial machinery, robotics and automation, in electronics, e-commerce, and payments. Its high-speed trains alone, they charge at more than 540 kilometers an hour on the world's biggest high-speed network, covering more than 50,000 kilometers, and also connecting China to Asia and Europe. And what's more, China is systematically, over the last decade or so, diversified its export away from the U.S. to other Asian markets, as well as to LATAM, Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. But anyways, let me pause here so that I don't get carried away.
Well, Burkhard, that's quite a stunning development. So as a follow-up, I'm curious, how do you think this might shape the U.S.-China relationship, and what does it suggest to investors?
So here are two thoughts I'd have on that. I think there are fundamentally two directions the U.S.-China relationship can take. One, there's more strategic rivalry dominating global politics, trade, and security. That's essentially the status quo. Two, as the U.S.-China summit is coming up, the two superpowers, who, by the way, produce almost half of the world's GDP today, could choose to cooperate. They could seek to shift the world from today's multipolar to a bipolar order. They could tacitly respect their respective spheres of influence and cooperate in trade, politics, and security. From such a relationship, I think both could gain a lot: power, might, and wealth. And frankly, an entire next chapter in globalization could benefit. And you know, I somehow feel that deep down Donald Trump would enjoy to sign such a really, really historic deal. And that's, by the way, why he certainly wants to get the distraction of Hormuz out of his way as he heads to Beijing. And I also think that President Xi is also sympathetic to such a deal, which would bring mutual benefit. And that's why, potentially, this is very hypothetical, next week's summit could turn out to be a historic summit. The second point is about markets. I think the rise of emerging markets is here to stay. I think it's also married with today's multipolar order, in which many emerging markets thrive more than in the old order. And of course, as I said before, the soft dollar is also helping them. But more importantly, their fiscal and monetary policy governance has improved and become much more dogmatic in recent years. So while next week's summit could potentially make history, I think in any case, investors should be significantly invested in global emerging markets for the next few years.
And Burkhard, what role for China in this?
Well, you're right to ask. I think that China's global leadership, especially for the global south, was never stronger than it is today. What's more, its stocks remain cheap. Its economy is stronger than it looks to some. And it has the means and the capital to win big. China's rise and export are also at the heart of our Roaring 20s scenario. And if, as I said before, China and the U.S. were to cooperate rather than to compete, a new bipolar order could shape the world for years to come. I'm kind of reminiscent how in 1972, U.S. President Nixon traveled to Beijing expecting a multipolar order and accidentally got a unipolar one, which the United States dominated for many, many years thereafter. When Donald Trump flies to Beijing next week, it's happening in a multipolar world. But before he returns, the two presidents might sign a deal towards a more bipolar one, led by the two most powerful, important, greatest economy of the world.
Well, Burkhard, that's a good note to end our conversation on for this week. And of course, hopeful that this upcoming summit is a productive and positive one. And I do look forward to regrouping with you post the summit. Will, of course, be interesting to hear your takeaways and reflections. Though, thank you again, Burkhard, for dropping by the Viewpoints podcast this week. Great to catch up with you as always.
And thank you. Always a great pleasure, Dan. Thanks for having me and catch up again soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.